Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
We had a Taos report come out this week, and the media would call it a strong jobs report. On Friday, President Obama was in Virginia touting his strong jobs report. 243,000 jobs were added to the economy last month, making the unemployment rate drop to 8.3%. Well, you can say that's a great, strong jobs report, but is it really? If you hadn't noticed, there was a change in how they did some reporting on jobs reporting. And we've got a track here. Derek, do you have track number one? This is Amelia Antonetti from Fox Business Channel. Let's hear what she has to say about the jobs report.
Is it really
so
what
you
we need?
Doubt whether this lasts?
I'm saying that I have found it very creative that we used to measure the job rate based on these parameters, and they changed the parameters, and that the numbers look better. So
what numbers and parameters did they change?
Meaning that the entrance and the exits. They shortened the window so that the numbers actually look better. And again, as you said, as more people...
Okay, so they have changed how they reported job numbers. And this is pretty common for this administration to do things like this. And if you didn't know, once your unemployment runs out, you are no longer considered unemployed. You come off the rolls. They don't consider that as a number anymore. If you have given up looking for work because you're completely depressed, maybe, just can't take it anymore, living in a cardboard box, you no longer count as unemployed. It's amazing how we as Americans just kind of let that slide. Nobody was up in arms when they changed the reporting requirements, the entry and exit, as she was claiming. It's not right. President Obama went on in his speech at a fire station to say to Congress, don't slow down the recovery we are on. Don't muck it up like it's Congress's fault that the economy is as bad as it is. This administration has done everything to not make the environment for business particularly good. They're saying this is the unemployment rate falling for the fifth straight month. Well, it takes a lot more jobs than this. You got to remember, 243,000 jobs in a country of over 300 million people. That's a drop in the bucket. And that doesn't tell you how many jobs were lost in the same period. There are still 13 million people, according to their statistics, unemployed in this country. It's probably a lot bigger number than that. This is the first time the unemployment rate has come down. Well, let's see, fallen 5 months in a row since 94, two economic booms and two recessions ago. Obama is saying the economy is growing strong and the recovery is speeding up. You can jump all over this and be positive if you want to. I'm not particularly positive. I mean, it's a good sign that some jobs are being created, but let's be honest about it. He's running for election this year, and the fact is no president has won a re-election with unemployment higher than 7.2%. Now, that means Obama's got some work to do. He either needs to change the economy around, or he needs to change the numbers, which is kind of what he's been doing. The Congressional Budget Office and Dr. Elmendorf, who is the Congressional Budget Office director, on February 1st, which was just a few days ago, just like a day before Obama's speech, touting his job numbers, was at a hearing. And, of course, you get both sides of the stories at these hearings. It's like a 2-hour and 35-minute hearing. And I was going through that yesterday. And the amazing thing is it's available on C-SPAN. You can pull it up on the Internet, and you can watch the whole thing. In a country of 300 million people, of which maybe half of us work, maybe less, let's imagine that, well, how many people would you think would actually watch this C-SPAN segment? It was 2,400 people that actually watched the C-SPAN video on the internet. And frankly, I'm just amazed that there's so little participation by the country. You really need to get out and start listening and start doing. But we have a track from this, and Republican Congressman McClintock from California is questioning Dr. Elmendorf. Very knowledgeable man, and I give him credit. He did his best under fire from both sides. And Derek, do you have that track too?
Mr. Elmendorf, we've been hearing a recurrent theme from the other side that recovery is pretty strong, the economy's getting better, all is well with the world. Let me ask you, are there more people working today or fewer people working today than at the on inauguration day of 2009?
I believe the answer to that is there are fewer people, Congressman.
Is the unemployment rate higher or lower than it was on inauguration day?
So I don't, be honest, Congressman, I don't know the unemployment rate on inauguration day.
In January 2009, I believe it was 7.8%. Is that higher or lower than it is today?
So the current rate is higher than that rate that you've identified, Congressman.
And if the labor participation rate had remained the same as it was on inauguration day, that is, if so many workers didn't get discouraged and leave the workforce, what would the unemployment rate be today?
Let me see if we have an answer to that question. I'm sorry, I don't have that offhand, Congressman.
Would you say it's over 10%?
I just don't know. It's a.
Okay. He was getting hit pretty hard. I mean, well, you would think he would expect that kind of questioning. But needless to say, what it shows you is that the numbers game, numbers don't lie, but people who put the numbers in do lie. And when you change reporting statistics, there's a problem with that. It's disingenuous. And that's what you've had for 3.5 years from this administration. If they can't prove the results, they'll find a way to manipulate the results and massage the numbers to make it look like they're doing better. I mean, if you're going to massage the numbers, you might as well say, hey, we're down to 6%. But he can't even fudge properly. 8.5 or 8.3, whatever it is still too high. Too high. And that should be what everyone's focusing on. Don't let these numbers and the media let you think that things are getting all that much better. They're not. Ask your own neighbors. How many of your own friends are unemployed or underemployed is the big word you hear nowadays, underemployed. I'm not working enough hours or I'm not making as much money as I should be making. Money has fallen down. It's hiding is what it is. It's being hid by the people who have it. They don't want to invest. And I can't blame them for not investing. 734-822-1600. I'd like to get your comments and thoughts on this process as we go through it. We did have some good news also this week. The state of Indiana, good news for state of Indiana anyways, went right to work. Governor Mitch Daniels signed right to work for Indiana, making it the 23rd right to work state in the nation and the first, this is important, first in our manufacturing belt, the old Midwest. Under the legislation, unions and companies cannot negotiate contracts that force employees to financially support a union as a condition of employment. What that means is if you want to get into a company, you don't have to join the union. You don't have to pay the dues. Now, some unions are good. Don't get me wrong. They have their place. But some unions are really just in it for the money. They're taking money out of your dues. They're giving you nothing in return. They're not protecting you. What they do is they protect the guy who probably should be fired because he's drinking on the job, smoking on the job, doing something that he's not supposed to be doing. And the good guy who works gets absolutely nothing for it. It's like the way a lot of us pay taxes. We pay taxes and get nothing for it. I don't receive anything other than the roads I drive on and the sewer system I use, but I pay separate fees for those anyways. It's called a gas tax. But unions are good. They had a point in society, and maybe they're still good if they're working properly. But Senator Carl Yoder from Middleton, Indiana, he's a Republican, says that this legislation simply allows individuals to decide for themselves whether they want to pay union dues or not. This is about giving freedom to workers to not be involved with something they don't want to be a part of. So if you're a gun-toting conservative union member, you don't have to pay money to that liberal union that's paying all this money to Carl Levitt, Debbie Stabenow, whatever. We need to get on this in the state of Michigan, without a doubt. Rick Snyder said he would sign Right to Work if it reached his desk, but he's not pushing for it as part of his agenda. He calls it divisive. I don't know that it's divisive. People deserve to have a little more freedom at the workplace and otherwise. And so we'll continue this discussion in a minute. But I want to make sure you get hold of your congressman, your state reps, and we'll give you some numbers when they come back.
Hello, Wham! Listeners. I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Every Sunday at 5 p.m., we explore the world of art and antiques, commercially, academically, and from the perspective of the collector. Speaking of Art features renowned guests as our guides as we visit great museums, galleries, theaters, and historic sites. We'll examine paintings, prints, sculpture, and drawings. You'll hear from the artists and their patrons, and you'll gain a special insight into both contemporary and historical periods. We'll travel through monuments of world architecture and experience the evolution of design. Achievements in film, music, and stage will also grace our forum. Speaking of Art is one of the best conversations of your week. So, nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Sunday at 5 on WHAM. Speaking of Art, it's about civilization, yours.
Settle in for a great conversation every Sunday at 5 p.m. Speaking of Art with Ed Hoffman, exclusively on WHAM Talk 1600.
Snickerdoodle, shortbread, fudgy nut bars. How many treats? Snickerdoodle, shortbread, fudgy nut bars. How many treats in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is the Clark Cast with Matt Clark.
You want something fair, have everybody pay 10%. So if you make $200 million or you make $20,000, have everybody pay the same rate, 10% of that. You're going to get the left saying, well, that's not fair that the rich are only paying 10%. The rich are only paying 10%, and the guy who's making $20,000 is 10% as well. That's not fair. How does that make sense?
The Clark Cast, every Sunday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Wham!
See what I mean?
You're right. I'm really not the worst trumpet player in the world. Thanks, Dad.
Just keep practicing, son. You'll get it.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dave Janda, host of Operation Freedom, broadcasting live from Wham Talk 1600's Freedom Bunker every Sunday from 3 to 5. We are the only operating room in all of radio. Every Sunday in our OR, we dissect current events with the help of guests that Enemedia are afraid to bring to life. Our goal is to educate and empower you. I hope you'll join our OR team every Sunday from 3 to 5 right here at Wham Talk 1600. Yeah!
You're listening to The Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Okay, well, welcome back to The Drift. Thanks for hanging with me on this wonderful Sunday morning, Super Bowl Sunday. I want to take care of a little business first. I forgot to do my sponsor this half hour is Brighton Ford. 1-800-519-4155, Brighton Ford, run by the Spittler brothers, Todd and Scott. Scott's a good guy. Give him a holler. Let him know you heard this on The Drift. They do free tire rotation. There's coupons in The Current. You can download it at currentonline.com. They have a 1995 oil change. They were so busy yesterday, I couldn't get in. And then four-wheel alignment for $49.95. I've bought three cars now from Brighton Ford. Very happy with all of them. I get most of my service work done at Brighton Ford. They're very good about letting you know what's going on with your car. They don't force you to do extra things, but they do let you know what it looks like underneath that shiny exterior. They have all the latest models in Ford products, and they have a great used car lot with just about every brand out there represented. So 1-800-519-4155 or go to brightonford.com and see what they've got going. I want to backtrack real quick, too, before we carry on about right to work. There was a page that I missed here. Last month, again, this goes back to the figures, 1.2 million people fell out of the labor force in 1 month. So as good as the numbers look in January, they're really not all that good. 1.2 million people dropped out of the labor force last month. That's an unprecedented record. The civilian labor force has now tumbled to a fresh 30-year low of 63.7%. That's pretty amazing. That's from Hedge Zero. You can catch that. Again, go to the Daily Drift, which is at CourantOnline.com, C-O-U-R-A-N-T online.com, and click on the Daily Drift. You can go through the stuff that I put up here every day for you. It's information I think you should be listening to and checking out, and I'd like you to follow along with me when you get the chance. But back to right to work now. What you'll always hear from the unions is that, oh, if right to work comes, it's going to make our wages drop very bad. And that's not really the case. In Nevada, they have about the same percentage as the state of Michigan for the percent of people that are in unions and employed. That's about 17%, I think, in Nevada. And in Oklahoma, which went right to work in 2001, back then wages were about, they averaged out around $28,000. 10 years later, they're around $38,000. And that percentage is spot on with the rest of the country. So now it may not seem like a lot of money, but it's Oklahoma. Come on. So wages, excuse me, wages don't collapse when right to work comes in. That's a falsehood. What it does is actually bring more business into the state, and you'll do much better having right to work and get the economy moving a lot faster. So speaking of things that are moving faster, our average employee for the state, the cost for our average employee in the state increased from $79,000 in 2001 to $95,000 in 2011. So that's a pretty big jump in 10 years' time. Now, the Democrats will be claiming that $500 million in concessions came from our state employees and the unions, but it doesn't tell you the whole story. Michigan Capital Confidential, you'll find their stories all the time at the Daily Drift, is a good source of information. We don't have AP out of Lansing anymore. And people will say, oh, they're conservative. They're not. This is an independent group. So Michigan Capital Confidential is a great group to get information from, and they are independent. They very common sense, and so most conservatives seem to have that financial end of common sense, so that's what it looks like. But you want to follow Michigan CapCon to get some information, and again, you can always get links. We link them to the Daily Drift, so you can catch that story all the time. In 2001, the state paid $3.9 billion to 62,000 employees at an average of around $63,000 in total compensation for each employee. In 2011, the state paid $4.7 billion to 47,000 for full-time employees. That's not including their benefits. So fewer employees, but the money went up. So they did a little cutback, but they increased the wages. So it didn't save us a whole lot of money in what they were doing. And, you know, we need to make sure that our Michigan legislature, which right now it's a GOP House, it's a GOP Senate, and we have a GOP governor. There's no reason we can't get things fixed. Randy Richerville is leading the Senate. He's a Republican, maybe a Republican in name only. Randy Richerville, you really need to step up to the plate. Don't worry about getting reelected and get some things done. Give Randy Richerville a call. 517-373-3543. Tell him you want right to work started. He's saying he doesn't have the votes. He does. He's just dragging his shoes on because he wants to get reelected and he's worried about the unions coming after him. Mark Wimette, our state rep for the Michigan 52nd House seat, 734-717-0448. MarkWomet.com, mark@markwomet.com. You can catch him. Bill Rogers, 517-373-1784. Cindy Denby, 517-373-8835. These are your state reps. You need to get hold of them and let them know that we need to get right to work started in Michigan. Tell them to stop fooling around or you won't vote for them the next time. Tell them you'll actively vote against them in the primary if they don't get on the stick. This is something we need to have done. You can go to currentonline.com. At the bottom of the front page there, you will see all the contact emails and phone numbers for these state officials, including the governor and some of our congressmen. Get active. Start participating. Get hold of these guys and let them know what you feel, because you know what? This is an opportunity we may not have after the next election. The Democrats might get a comeback. You never know. So right now they should be striking while the iron is hot. Again, 734-822-1600. Give me a holler if you want to comment on any of these. Also, from Michigan CapCon this week, we had the home health care forced unionization issue come up again. There was more people forced into that union than previously thought. Right now, there are 60,190 people who have been forced into this union. That's 25% higher than the 43,000 previously reported. It is now probable that more than 80% of these workers were forced into the Service Employees International Union, SEIU, by Governor Jennifer Granholm while she was in office. These not only are the numbers involved greater than previously believed, the definition of home health care workers is also very murky. They're saying that the assumptions that they are medical professionals providing care for multiple homebound patients are inaccurate. What that means is a lot of these home health care people are just taking care of family members who have been debilitated in some fashion or another. So they're not really employees of anybody. They're working for they're getting some money from the state to help take care of someone who's disabled, and yet they've been slung into this union against their will. The much-reported 43,000 figure came from the number of ballots they sent out in 2006 to try and get this union installed. More than 80% of those eligible to vote never sent their ballots back. They may never have even gotten them or didn't know what it was. Probably thought it was junk mail and threw it out. Little did they know they would get sucked into it. So over $28 million has been funneled into SEIU. That's our state tax-paying dollars that should be going to disabled people or the healthcare workers that take care of them, is going to the union. If you're not outraged by this, you should be. Again, we need to get hold of your legislators because they've changed it, and yet they're not. And here, I'll explain this to you. The Michigan Quality Community Care Council was the figurehead employer for all these healthcare workers. Now, you didn't really work for these people, but this is what the state of Michigan and Jennifer Granholm called as their employer. Last year, the state cut off funding for Michigan Quality Community Care Council, effective October 1st. But the MQC3 continues to function, and it allows roughly $6 million of taxpayer money to flow in the form of dues from the home care workers' checks to the SEIU. The House passed legislation HB 4003 to stop the flow of dues, but the Senate continues to sit on the bill. Again, that's Randy Richardville. Folks, you got to get hold of Randy and let him know what's going on. He's a Republican, but honestly, the only thing I can think of, he doesn't want to get the unions mad at him, doesn't want to put up with not getting reelected this time around. And the only way to change that is for people to flood his office with phone calls. Call Randy Richardville, email Randy Richardville, plug it into your cell phone and make a pest of yourself until this guy realizes what needs to be done. We'll continue our discussion after the break. We've got a lot to get through and it's going a little slow this morning, so we'll see you on the other side.
People are always
always on the move, driving to work, getting the groceries, hauling the kids to soccer. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham for intelligent conversation with hosts like Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theron X. They stay tuned in for Fox updates, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pat O'Neill. A double-digit win for Mitt Romney, the GOP presidential frontrunner, first in the Nevada caucuses.
President Obama says he wants to fundamentally transform America. We want to restore to America the founding principles that made this country great.
Newt Gingrich, a distant second, remains defiant.
We will continue the campaign all the way to Tampa.
A man charged with killing four homeless people in Southern California, now being charged with killing the family of a high school classmate.
This case is now expanded from murdering random, vulnerable strangers to murdering people he knew.
Orange County DA Tony Rakakis. At least seven people dead and 19 wounded in a car bombing in southern Afghanistan. In the north, police say an American soldier shot and killed an Afghan guard at a U.S. base, apparently because the American thought he was about to be attacked. Fox News. We report, you decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
The Washtenaw County Conservation District's Spring 2012 conservation plants and product sales are underway. Information about the sales is available on the district website at www.washtenawcd.org. After a successful premiere of Real Michigan 2011, the Northville Art House and the charity partner Northville Civic Concern are proud to present the second annual Real Michigan Film Festival, June 23rd. Real Michigan is now accepting Michigan-made or Michigan-themed short films, 25 minutes or less, including credits, as part of the City of Northville's popular Arts and Acts event held June 22nd through June 24th. The entry deadline for film submission is April 23rd. Real Michigan welcomes all genres from student films to the experimental. Real Michigan 2012 is the perfect platform for Michigan filmmakers to showcase their many talents. To learn more, email Lisa at realmichigan@gmail.com. Check out the wide variety of educational fun events put on by the Ann Arbor District Library for kids preschool through 12th grade. All library facilities can be reached by phone through the main switchboard at 734-327-4200, or you can visit www.aadl.org. Check it out. To review these events and others, you can always visit WHAM's website at www.whamradio.com and click on Community Events.
You've been listening to the WHAM Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community@whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. WHAM Talk 1600. In touch with your community.
Theron here reminding you to join me for the coolest music to be had in America today. It's the Bone Conduction Music Show. Hey, my neighbor's dog told me to do this show, and I'd advise you to dial in. We play a lot of cool music that you just can't get anyplace else. Check out the weak singing rock, the hip-shaking soul music, and the industrial strength rhythm and blues. It's the Bone Conduction Music Show.
Join Theron for the rockinest show on the radio. It's the Bone Conduction Music Show. Every Sunday night at 7 p.m. right here on Wham! Talk 1600.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Well, welcome back. Thanks for catching my drift this Sunday morning, Super Bowl Sunday. Our sponsor this half hour, The Courant newspaper, C-O-U-R-A-N-T. COURNTonline.com. If you don't get it, we do mail now to 27,900 homes. We drop off another 5,000 or so. So we're at about 33,000 circulation. If you've got print media advertising budget to take care of, use The Courant. If you're using those monthly mailers and coupon rags, you're take a look at the P.O. Box garbage can, and you'll see that's where your monthly mailers seem to go most of the time. But The Courant doesn't do that. It sits on people's shelves and counters for about 3 weeks. and it gets read. Our online server requests are now over 60,000 average per month, so you get the online portion as well as the print media once a month. Call Sam Iaquinto, 734-322-0777. The current is probably your best deal for print media advertising, so get hold of us, again, 734-322-0777, or go to currentonline.com and drop us an email, and we'll send you all the information you need. I also want to help out Fallen and Wounded Soldiers Fund. Lynn Phillips is your contact. 734-904-6645 is her phone number, or you can go to fwsf.org. They're doing a fundraiser this April, 7th annual dinner. They want to try and sell these tickets out. It'll be at the Collection Show, Suburban Collection Showplace in Novi. Their keynote speaker will be Sebastian Junger, a journalist and author who is embedded with troops in Afghanistan. Now, what they do is, their mission is to help Michigan vets who served in Iraq and Afghanistan in Operation Iraqi Freedom or Operation Enduring Freedom. And they focus on vets who sustained combat or training-related injury that precludes them from earning enough to support themselves. So they're bridging the gap between VA benefits and anything else the vets have. So it's a good way to help our soldiers who have served this country faithfully and were wounded in one fashion or another in the war. So, again, Lynn Phillips, 734-904-6645. Get a hold of them and go to that 7th annual dinner. And they're going to be doing a golf outing later this summer as well. So fwsf.org. Okay, so we were talking about the state budget. And one of the things that needs to be also handled, again, go back to our state officials who need to get to work in the short time they have left before election. The state took the employees' retirement benefit package and changed it, making everybody pay 20%, and they've done a fine job with that, and I want to thank the unions and members of the state employees who took care of that and accepted that. But what they haven't changed yet is the state's teacher retirement system. That continues to be an increase on taxpayers, us, and the local school districts. Costs have exploded in recent years, and without substantial reform, there's no reason to expect that trend to change. It's not hard to figure it out. Since 1988, the system has been fully funded only 3 years, all of those during the high-growth 1990s. Unfunded liabilities for teacher pensions are now $17.6 billion. To put it into perspective, it would take roughly all of the state's annual tax revenue just to fully fund the system. So you really need to, again, get on the horn, people. It's election year. These guys are scared that they won't be reelected. So every phone call you make really counts. Back in 1984, the cost to fund this the pension fund was 3.22% of the school payroll expenses. Today, they swallow almost 25% of the entire payroll. So it's a problem that needs to be fixed and needs to be fixed fast. Again, we have a GOP House, a GOP Senate, and a GOP governor. Get on the stick, boys. Get things done in Lansing while we still have the opportunity to do so. On that same vein, a lot of people are thinking that if the economy turns around, money will pour back in and we'll fix these pension problems. And that's probably not going to happen. That kind of sufficient growth isn't going to happen anytime soon. We still got to get out of this recession, and unless we have a national fix, it's probably not going to help us here in the state of Michigan. Having a right-to-work state might, hint, hint. Again, let's make sure we're calling our state senators and state representatives and letting them know what's going on. I'm going to skip over teachers' unions. We've hit them hard enough. Obama also pushed this year, or just recently this week, his new plan for homeowners and to help them refinance. I guess I just made a call. What I was giving you the wrong phone number for Sam Iaquinto, 734-323-0777. I think I was saying 322. It's 323-0777. Thank you to my lovely wife for calling in and fixing that for me. But as we go back to President Obama this week, was talking about helping homeowners with another stimulus plan. And, you know, you're getting promises left and right from this guy, and you're going to see it continue. We have a track. I think it's track number two, Derek. Do we have this from him talking about his homeowner's plan? Maybe we have it. We're working on it. Anyways, what he wants to do is help those homeowners who have 6 months of good payment behind them get their loans refinanced because we're upside down on our mortgages. So here we go with track two. Derek, go give it to us.
Right now, there are more than 10 million homeowners in this country who, because of a decline in home prices that is no fault of their own, owe more on their mortgages than their homes are worth. It's wrong for anyone to suggest that the only option for struggling responsible homeowners is to sit and wait for the housing market to hit bottom. I don't accept that. None of us should. That's why we launched a plan a couple of years ago that's helped nearly 1 million responsible homeowners refinance their mortgages and save an average of $300 on their payments each month. I'll be the first to admit it didn't help as many folks as we had hoped, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't keep trying. And that's why I'm sending Congress a plan that will give every responsible homeowner the chance to save about $3,000 a year on their mortgages by refinancing at historically low rates. No more red tape, no more endless forms, and a small fee on the largest financial institutions will make sure it doesn't add a dime to the deficit.
Okay, so there was a couple of things in that little snippet. One was he's admitting that his plan previously has not helped as many people as he would like. Go figure. He was off again on his numbers, massaging them a little bit and being highly too expectant of what was going to happen. But the other thing was the small fee that he's going to put on the banks to pay for this. Now, you think the banks are just going to go ahead and accept that fee and say, oh, yeah, we'll take it out of our profits? No. They will pass that fee back down to us. So, again, it's an indirect tax from the president and his plan right to the consumer. He's going to try and help people. Now, I don't know how many people are 6 months without being behind on their payments. I got to imagine the number he's talking about is probably pretty small. But again, here is a guy who wants to use some form of taxation, either indirect or direct, to try and help us get out of our problems. We can't be fixing the market with a fee to the banks, which will get passed on to us. It's not going to happen. If you want to fix the housing market, and I hope our congressmen are listening, Tim Walberg, 7th District, I've had this idea, I've spoken about it for years. If you want to fix the housing market, you got to get property values back to where they need to be. There's only one way to do that. You got to get rid of the glut in housing. You got to get those houses sold and off the market so that they become price point, so it goes up again. And if you want to see houses and property and commercial buildings sell, take the capital gains off of real estate investment. That costs nobody. The capital gains, 15% that you get on them, is marginal. When you take capital gains off, money will flood back into housing. Let people buy a second home. Let people buy a vacation home. There's money out there. The rich have it. Let them buy rental properties. Let them buy commercial buildings. You can qualify it in any way you want. They've got to hold on to it for 10 years. They have to put a certain amount back into it. Put 10% back into it. That'll make construction guys be busy again. But take the capital gains off of real estate investments, and what you'll see is money flood from CDs where they're sitting safe and then stocks and bonds that are safe and flow back into the real estate market, dry up that glut, and prices will rise. And then people won't be underwater anymore. They'll be able to change and refinance their loans. It's a simple free market fix that doesn't cost the taxpayers a whole lot of money. It's not money out of our pocket. It's not money that's going to get sucked up by the banks in a fee that they pass on to us. So there was another track from his speech, I think, there. Derek, can you play that third track there?
Especially when it comes to our housing market. Lenders sold loans to families who couldn't afford them. Banks packaged those mortgages up and traded them for phony profits. It drove up prices and created an unsustainable bubble that burst and left millions of families who did everything right in a world of hurt. It was wrong. The housing crisis has been the single biggest drag on a recovery from the recession.
Well, it has been. So fix it, Mr. Obama. Fix the housing market. Do something that doesn't cost all of us a lot of money. Now, he wants to put the blame on the banks. The banks gave loans to people who couldn't afford them. Really? Why did the banks do that? Do you think they did it because it was a smart business move? No, they did not do it. They did it because Barney Frank, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and the new, regulations said that they have to give more loans to people who can't afford them, so that they can have an opportunity to have a house. That was government interference once again in the free market, which led to devastating consequences for those of us who actually own homes. I know the price of our home would never meet what we owe on it, probably not for another 10 years, unless we fix it by getting the government out. Take the capital gains off, President Obama. Our Congress needs to look at this. Tim, make that motion in Congress to take the capital gains away from real estate. I think you'll find it to be, put the CBO on it. Dr. Elmendorf is a pretty straight shooter, it sounds like. Get it done. Put him on there. We now have Ken from Livonia. Love having Ken call in. Ken, good morning.
Yeah, I just want to talk about when, they talk about people who are having problems with their mortgage payments or people who have taken out more than they could chew. It's not always the bank's fault. I would say we need to start blaming the people themselves. I mean, why don't people take responsibility for their own actions? Before you even walk into a bank, you should know how much money you can spend. I mean, when I bought my house, I knew exactly how much money I could take out for a loan. So if I took out a loan beyond that, it's not the bank's fault, it's my fault.
Right. It was, but I guess part of it is also the government allowing no-doc loans to come in. I mean, it opens up the market to people who were, I mean, let's face it, I'm sure there were some people who took loans on purpose to try and get ahead of the game and took homes that they couldn't afford with a no-doc. How do you give a loan to somebody with no documentation? It's astounding to me that the government would have pushed for that kind of loan to be available to anybody.
Well, I'm not saying that the government or the banks didn't make it possible, but there again, if I walk into a bank and I know I'm only good, say, for $150,000, and I'm stupid enough to take more than that, that's not the bank's fault, it's my fault.
Yeah, it's personal responsibility, and I think, you're right on the money, Ken. In America nowadays, the America of today, responsibility is not something that's pushed.
We want to blame somebody else for everything. If I'm obese, it's McDonald's fault.
Right.
If I spend too much money, it's the bank's fault. So everything we do, it's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault.
Right. It's a lack of discipline that we've instilled in ourselves, our children, for decades now, and we wonder why we're in the mess we're in. We'll probably do an entire show on discipline of our children and ourselves. But, again, you're right on the money. Thanks for that call, Ken. Love getting the calls from you.
Take care.
You too. That's a great point. Responsibility is huge. We're going to take another break and come back, and we'll finish up the day. We've got a lot to get through, so see you on the other side.
For over 72 years, residents of Washtenaw and surrounding counties have enjoyed the warm, friendly hospitality at Tri-County Sportsman's League, providing shooters and their families with a place to meet and enjoy their favorite pastime. Tri-County offers a complete range of training from basic firearms instruction and hunter safety up through self-defense and concealed carry classes. If your interests include competitive shooting, Tri-County runs monthly International Defensive Pistol Association matches, with our teams producing some of the top shooters in local and state competitions. Moon Road, just east west of Saline, Tri-County Sportsman's League has 57 acres of archery, rifle, pistol, and shotgun ranges. Entertaining or hosting a family event, our clubhouse has a ballroom, meeting room, full-service bar and kitchen, and banquet facilities with full on-site catering services available. For more information, visit our website at tcsl.org, call 734-429-9561, that's 734-429-9561, or drop by at 8640 Moon Road and we'll show you around.
Hi, we're talking to real smokers about quitting. Tell me when you smoke and why you smoke.
Eat, cigarette, kids, cigarette, dinner, another cigarette.
One on my way to lunch, one after lunch.
And another cigarette, and another cigarette.
Have you tried to quit?
Yes. I become angry.
It ain't that easy. You can't just quit cold turkey. I tried.
What would you do different?
Actually having a plan and thinking it through.
You have to relearn how to live your life without a cigarette in your hand.
With the right plan, you can quit smoking. Free at becomeanx.org. X, a new way to think about quitting. Brought to you by X and the Ad Council.
Truth, justice, and the American way.
Romney, he's knocked out, loaded. He's so rich he can't see straight. That's great. That doesn't mean that you're going to get that. And it doesn't mean that we need to take his stuff and distribute it amongst other people because you don't have it. Used to be we'd celebrate stuff like that. It's up to you to take a shot at it. It's up to you. And if you don't make it, sorry.
On the Edge with Theron. Weekday afternoons, 3 to 6 on Wham!
Looking for ways to lower your auto insurance costs? This is Kevin Clinton, Commissioner of the Office of Financial and Insurance Regulation. Our agency has tips on how to shop around for more affordable rates. We can help explain all your coverage options and make sure Michigan drivers are aware of every discount available. For help in stretching your insurance dollar, visit us online at michigan.gov/OFIR or call us at 877-999-6442.
Hello, Ann Arbor. This is Bill Bennett. Join me live weekday mornings from 6 to 9 here at Wham! Talk 1600.
Bill Bennett's Morning in America.
I'm teamed up with the latest Fox News and Wham!'s Dan Martin.
Cultural, political, and education issues that matter to you.
We open up a dialogue with listeners from coast to coast every morning.
Morning in America. Weekdays 6 to 9 on Wham! Talk 1600.
Start your day right. Join us on Wham!
You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift. Send the Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
And welcome back to the Drift. We were talking about Obama and the Obama and a lot of things today, but we're going to continue. The National Prayer Breakfast was this week, and of course, the president was invited and shown up. Now, I'm kind of amazed that he was even invited. He's kind of been, what did someone say, the president who's gone to church less than any other president? I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe it isn't. And I'm not questioning the fact that he's a Christian. I'm assuming he is a Christian. But he used it again as a big campaign stop. The president said his policies originate from a belief that I am my brother's keeper and that the country has a shared responsibility to look out for those who cannot speak for themselves. I don't know how many people can't speak for themselves. If you're poor, you can still go to the library, jump online, and send emails. You can talk to your senators via phone, your congressmen via phone or email. And frankly, I've seen homeless people with cell phones, so I don't know that anyone doesn't have a voice anymore. I don't like the fact that a president believes he is his brother's keeper. You don't have to take care of me, Mr. Obama. Even the years that I made close to poverty level incomes myself, I didn't ask for help. I didn't go and ask for assistance. I stuck it out. I ate peanut butter. I ate bananas. I lost weight. I was pretty healthy. The poorer I was, the healthier I seemed to be. But it's very hypocritical to see him talking and saying things like, to whom much is given, much shall be required. This is the last guy in the world that I want preaching gospel to me. And don't talk to me about your faith and values when you're turning your back on some of our best friends in the world, in Europe and Israel. So it just strikes me as very hypocritical to see him talking about helping people. at the prayer breakfast when he went ahead and did things like the Obamacare mandate that requires Catholics to deal with contraception and pay for contraception. And in that vein, we had a lady call a week or so ago about that mandate. And what we saw was this mandate being instituted against Catholics. And I pulled up an article yesterday. The U.S. Army silences Catholic chaplains from speaking out against the Obama administration ruling on the mandate for contraception. Now, if you're not Catholic, you may not know, but Catholics don't believe in contraception, don't believe in abortion. And last Sunday, Catholic priests across the country read an open letter to their parishioners. It condemned the Department of Health and Human Services' decision to force religious employers to cover the cost of contraception and abortion-inducing drugs in their employees' health care coverage. The letter argued that the faithful could not and must not in good conscience comply with HHS's unjust law. However, Catholic chaplains in the U.S. Army were forbidden from reading this communication. Archbishop Timothy Broglio, who was in charge of the Catholic military chaplains, sent out the note to be read at Sunday's Mass. But the Army's chief of the Office of the Chief of Chaplains sent out another communication forbidding the Catholic priests, chaplains, from reading the letter because it seemed to encourage civil disobedience and could be read as seditious against the commander-in-chief, President Obama. U.S. Army officials felt the letter contained language that might be misunderstood in a military setting, and they asked that it not be read from the pulpit. More than one Catholic chaplain confirmed that they had disobeyed the instructions and went ahead and read the letter anyways. That's a tough thing, to do disobey your military and yet follow your faith. It makes you wonder if there was a Muslim component to this, if they would have gotten the letter. My guess would be not. It seems like it's okay to try and stop Catholics and Christians from getting from believing what they believe in the military, yet it's perfectly acceptable for Islamic faith to do whatever is required of it and disobey military law. I'd love to get your call, 734-822-1600. We're wrapping up. If you got something to say, you don't have a lot of time to call in, so I'd love to hear from you before the day's over. So let's move on to something a little interesting. I pulled this up the other day. There's radio silence coming from a research station in Antarctica. It's a Russian group. Lake Vostok is a lake the size of Lake Ontario, 13,000 feet underneath ice. And the Russians were drilling down to this lake to try and see what that pristine water from 20 million years ago contains, looks like. And they have to be out within the next couple of days. And nobody's heard from them in the last 6 days. So it's like something out of a science fiction movie. You can check this out online, too. Don't forget to go and look at the Daily Drift, currentonline.com. And use the sponsors on this radio station when you hear them. And have fun at the Super Bowl tonight. Take care.